Steinar sat back in his chair, his eyes thoughtful. He would never have anticipated such a letter from Eric Dinas, yet he had no doubt it was genuine, and he wondered what sort of spiritual pilgrimage Dinas had experienced in the hands of the Inquisition to produce it. There was good in any man. Steinar believed that as firmly as he believed the sun would rise in the morning. But that good was more deeply hidden, more deeply buried in some than in others, and he had thought the good in Eric Dinas was irretrievably buried under a mountain of careless venality and a lifetime's participation in the temple's internal corruption. But I was wrong, he thought. The finger of God can touch anyone, anywhere, through the most unlikely of avenues. I've always believed that, too. And here at the end of Eric Dinas's life, God has incontestably touched him. The archbishop closed his eyes while he said a brief, intense prayer of thanks that even at the very end, Dinas had found his way to God, clear-eyed, despite the corrupting lenses through which he had been taught to look for him. Then Steinar straightened and looked across at his visitors. He understood now the peculiar fragility he'd sensed in Adamson. Like Dinas, and unlike Wilson, Adamson was a man whose faith had taken second place to his secular responsibilities and opportunities. In Dinas's fate and letter, he'd seen the mirror of himself, and it must have been a terrifying glimpse. Yet, unlike Dinas, he had the opportunity to profit from the experience in this world, not simply in the next. He could choose what decisions he would make in the life that remained to him, and it was obvious to Steinar that he found that possibility as frightening as it was exhilarating, as much a matter for shame as for a chance to make some sort of amends. For young Wilson, however, it must have been quite a different shock. Steinar knew better than most that Wilson had entertained few illusions about the way in which the church's actions so often betrayed the spirit of its own holy writ. But the scale of that corruption and the horrific lengths to which the group of four had been prepared to go must have hit him like a sledgehammer. And unlike Dinas and Adamson, Pater Wilson had never forgotten he was God's priest, never allowed the corruption around him and behind him to distract him from his spiritual duties. And now, one of the most blameless servants of Mother Church Steinar had ever known found himself directed by a fallen archbishop whose corruption must have been evident to Wilson all along to turn his back upon Mother Church, to deny her authority, reject her demands. A priest of the Inquisition had been commanded to defy the Grand Inquisitor himself by one of the Inquisition's very victims.
"May God have mercy on his true servant, Eric," Steinar murmured, touching first his heart and then his lips.
"Amen," Adamson and Wilson echoed.
"I am shocked and dismayed by Archbishop Eric's fate," Steinar said then, "and yet, at the end of his life, I believe he rose to a level and an awareness of God which all too few of us ever attain. Nonetheless, I must tell both of you that one point of doctrine upon which I and the Church of Curis strongly disagree with the doctrine of the Council of Vicars is on the right and responsibility of any child of God to judge for himself or herself where the right truly lies and what it demands of him or her. The role of the Church is not to dictate, but to teach, to explain, educate, and enjoin. The role of the individual is to exercise his or her freedom of will in loving God and doing that which is right because it is right, and not simply because he is given no other choice."
Wilson stirred slightly in his chair, and Steinar looked at him.